Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and it is pre-election week. And it's kind of, I think it's, this is a week where a lot of people, I think, have the jitters. Because the election has been so contested,
yes,
and so polarizing,
mm-hmm.
and now this whole thing about getting to vote is like, it's like a nuisance. It's like, oh, you got to go there, and you could be exposed, and you got to like stand 6 feet apart. And a lot of people have sent in their mail-in ballots, and some people here in New York are snaking around the blocks and blocks and blocks. Waiting to vote ahead of time.
Yes, which is a good idea to vote ahead of time if you can.
I'm going to vote on Election Day because I discovered that the poll, usually the poll, I have to go to a high school that's like 6-7 blocks away.
Yeah.
The actual polling place is exactly adjacent to my apartment in New York.
There you go.
And so it's at the YMCA, mm-hmm. which unfortunately is closed. But, you know, now they're going to make use of the space. So they're going to make it, I don't know, I guess... Maybe I can go in and maybe I can work out while voting.
Oh, there you go.
I think I'll show up in my shorts.
Sure.
I'll get on the treadmill and I'll fill up my ballot.
There you go. And then jog it over to the to the input.
Right. So, don't you feel the sort of the tension in the air?
And
the season is changing. It's getting colder.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have sort of that squirrel or chipmunk reflex where, you know, we all have to gather our nuts and like, you know, it's like hunker down for winter.
Yeah, and everybody's afraid of flu season, especially this year. And how do I know if it's flu? How do I know if it's COVID? And all of that certainly is on people's minds.
This election, we don't even know it's going to be over. Usually it's like, I mean, all the years that I've been an adult, it's like you stay up late.
Yeah.
And then they have an answer for you the next morning.
Yeah, that may not be the case.
So they're going to say, okay, well, you know, here it's close. Let's wait till all the ballots get counted the next few days.
Mm.
That's going to be weird.
That's going to be very weird. Yeah, a lot of people will be sitting on the edge of their seat.
I mean, they'll be like glued to the TV set because like every time a ballot is counted, it'll be like, oh, you know, Trump is up. Like, no, Trump is down. Biden is up. Trump is down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's going to be really weird.
Exactly.
So take more CBD this week.
Take more CBD. Meditate. Stimulate your vagus nerve.
Do something
chant,
else. I'm exercising. I got a new bike.
There you
go.
You built your own bike. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like all kind of...
People build their own computers. You built your own bike.
It's like the Frankenstein bike because you can't... there's been such a run on bikes that you cannot go into a store and say, I'd like... You know, I mean, yeah, you can get sort of... Not the kind of bike I want.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, well, get the frame and get the wheels and get the handlebars and get the seat and, you know, and then put together this Frankenstein bike. So I had my...
Are you going to call it Frankenstein?
I should.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we've got an email from Karen. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm a longtime listener. Love your show. I know that you say that saturated fat is not an issue and that simple carbs and trans fats are. Can you please tell me if you would change your advice regarding saturated fat if one has coronary artery plaque?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
No. Let
go ahead.
Because it's both a no and a yes.
You know, and by the way, I want to tell you that I have, and I haven't really cracked this article yet, but the latest edition of the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, which is the definitive journal about nutrition science, has precisely this theme framed as a pro-con debate.
And it's
two erudite scientists face off in a it's in the weeds in terms of, I think, public ability to understand some of the mechanisms. But what they conclude is that we don't really know.
Right.
We don't really know. I favor the argument that it is not consequential. One of the reasons however, I think I would have to hedge by saying it depends.
It depends.
I think there may be some people who are uniquely sensitive to saturated fats, and it may be genetic.
Oh, that's true. And that could be genetic.
Yep.
Now, the way to frame this is there's coronary artery plaque. The question is, why is it there? And that plaque, if the artery got damaged, out comes the heroic cholesterol and other things to spackle that crack.
Repair.
If there's a crack in your living room wall.
It's a response to inflammation.
Yes. And would you blame the spackle for the crack in your living room wall? Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. The question to ask is, what caused the crack in your coronary artery?
Another way of saying it is that, you know, those fires, they're so destructive. Every time those damn firemen show up, there's like a disaster.
What's going on with those firemen?
Stay the hell away from the fires.
Yeah. What are all these white blood cells? You have an infection. Get these white blood cells out of here. They're always around when there's an infection, right?
So it may be that this is a response.
Exactly. So Karen, if you were to analyze coronary artery plaque, you're not necessarily going to find saturated fats there. In fact, they're more pro-inflammatory, unsaturated, and other materials. So the saturated fat in your diet didn't cause that plaque to occur. What in your diet or in your lifestyle or the amount of inflammation
in your genes
is causing that damage to the coronary artery. It's not the plaque per se. Remember, it's spackle. We don't blame the spackle for the crack in the wall.
Even environmental pollutants and, cortisol from stress and all these things. Maybe viral,
factors. If you live at the mouth of the Lincoln Tunnel, and you're jogging around there,
those particles
and you're on
go
a
right
low-fat
in,
diet.
The particles go to your arterial wall.
Exactly. Yeah. And you could have all kinds of plaque just from that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But
so,
this is such a great question.
So practically speaking, what I would probably do with someone like that is I would do a complete analysis of their risk factors.
Yeah.
And, that would include, looking at
we'd look at lipoprotein A,
homocysteine.
Homocysteine, high sensitive CRP. It's not just the cholesterols.
Yeah, and it also, interestingly, I'm talking to some people, and it's not yet ready for prime time yet, but they have a very interesting test that's a prognostic test for coronary artery disease. And what they did is they analyzed like a million things. They did machine learning.
Oh, my.
And which means that they analyzed all these factors, artificial intelligence, which it goes way beyond the human brain's capacity to analyze data. And what they came up with are risk factors for coronary artery disease, none of which I've heard of. Chemicals and metabolites in the bloodstream that speak to risk and that we should be testing for, but not a thing. You can't look at one. You have to look at like a few of them in a weighted average. This is called proteomics. It's assisted by artificial intelligence because the human brain can't cope with all these, parameters. And it spits out your coronary artery risk factors. Mm. Now, question is how to modify those. And I think more research will be done on, how those things can be brought in line.
Yeah.
But, there's so much we don't know about what goes into it. So, for example, I just saw an example of this today. I mean, this is a woman, we both saw her. You know, her cholesterol goes as high as 300, but she has a very high HDL. They put her on a statin drug for prevention.
Yes.
Well, I said, let's get to see what your coronary arteries look like. Let's, maybe it's not just your cholesterol that's culprit. You know, I had lunch with a friend, and, you know, he said, oh, I finally went on Zocor, you know. Crestor.
Okay.
And, you know, I look, you know, he's a friend. So he showed me his coronary artery plaque, and it's like, I don't know, it's like a 12 or 15 or something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it is. There's this tremendous zeal to put people on statins. So they said, well, you know, you have some plaque, so we'll put you on it. But there's such a minimal amount.
Right.
And I can't talk him out of it because, if he thinks it's going to help him, fine.
Oh, coming back to what's causing the damage in the coronary artery, certainly high blood sugar.
Yes.
Will absolutely cause that, and that comes from a higher carb diet, mm-hmm. not the fats in the mm-hmm. diet, with the exception of trans fat, which is bad all around and can cause oxidation.
One of the disadvantages, and this is pointed out in this review, the scientific review I was talking about, American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, is there's a tendency when you get rid of saturated fats to substitute with more carbohydrates.
Yeah.
And that pushes up another risk factor,
which is
the hemoglobin A1C, the glycosylation of hemoglobin, which reflects the damage to proteins that occurs throughout the body.
Yes, and it can increase triglycerides as well, which is by itself an independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease.
All right, well, so the answer is it depends, but we both of us sort of favor a low-carb approach. Mm-hmm. Are saturated fats the culprit? Probably not.
Yeah.
In most cases. Okay, let's good point at which to pause to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you.
This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which play a central role in helping support optimal immune function. MyCell Immune Plus, Vitamin C 1000 Plus Zinc 15, and Vitamin D3 in a variety of potencies and delivery systems, liquid, chewable, and soft gels. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions. What's next, Layla?
We have an email from Christina. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I very much appreciate your protocol on mitral valve prolapse. Is there one for atrial fibrillation?
It's a book I wrote like 20 years ago. It's very popular.
Yeah, that's so cool that it's around.
Yep. I still get royalties.
Yeah.
I got a check the other day for $75.
Terrific. That's great. That's great. Is there one? Do you have a protocol for atrial fibrillation?
No. but you know, we've talked about this. So atrial fibrillation is a common problem. We often talk about it. You know, things that are helpful. Magnesium taurate.
Yes.
Fairly high dose.
Yeah.
2, 4, 6, 8 as high as.
Which is similar to the protocol for mitral valve prolapse, too. You need lots of magnesium.
Right.
Yeah.
But particularly for the arrhythmia of it, you know, to slow the rate. I also recommend fish oil, and I recommend coenzyme Q10. Mm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of like saying if the electrical system of your car isn't working, you know, your lights are flickering in your car, well, maybe you put like some additive in your gas. Maybe it'll make your lights work better.
Mm.
Right. Doesn't really make sense because
the
electrical system sort of lies outside the realm of, you know, the fuel and lubrication of your car.
Sure.
So it's not a matter of what you're feeding your car.
Right,
It's like you got a loose wire somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know. So right. I think that's a proper analogy for that.
Yeah. As opposed to the other analogy I often use is, you know, your car's not running well. You go under the hood, you play with the carburetor, you switch some hoses, you clean this, you do that, whatever. But the real culprit is you need to stop putting apple juice in the fuel tank.
Right.
So there you go.
Right.
Yeah, the other side, the other way of that. But atrial fib—that's really more of an electrical problem. Although there are some cardiologists that have said it's a lifestyle thing
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely, and you know, there's actually I read a very interesting review article about how taking, this is for preventing it, not fixing it, but a higher intake of flavanols and polyphenols can protect. So things like green tea and, you know, cocoa and things from fruit and berries and apples like quercetin may reduce the likelihood you're going to get it. But when you get it, you know, it's sometimes hard to reverse. Also, you know, the autonomic nervous system plays a role in it. So to the extent that you are easily excitable, you know, it's, you're not doing your heart a favor. And I also think that exercise has a benefit, but again, it's the Goldilocks effect, as I mentioned in part one. You really high-end athletes have a higher propensity, but couch potatoes also have a propensity. So you actually, you know, working out your heart, keeping your heart strong and responsive, you know, to, and what's also nice is the, you know, one of the things that I look at when I work out is, you know, I look at my heart rate. I have an Apple Watch on, and I watch my heart rate, and I try not to go, you know, into the red zone. You know, as much as I can tolerate now, it's like up into the 140s. And then I kind of like say, okay, that's like driving, you know, without getting in the red zone in your, you know, in your tachometer. And when, but the thing that is a hallmark of good cardiac health and autonomic nervous system balance is if how quickly your heart rate goes back to normal. And Apple Watches can tell you that. So that within, you know, a couple of minutes, you know, if you finished your race with a real burst of speed and you went up to 150, in a couple of minutes, it should be down to like, you know, 90 or 85. And then within 5 minutes, it's nice if it, you get towards a resting heart rate.
It's like when you're making a mad dash up, you know, six flights of subway stairs, as some of these stations can have. Are you still huffing and puffing two blocks later?
You
probably shouldn't be.
So that's the suppleness of your cardiac. It's like plasticity or cardiac flexibility.
I read a very interesting article a few years ago about why some retired people, that there's more AFib amongst retired people. And the answer was happy hour. They're all at happy hour.
Well, that's, we used to call it holiday heart. We would dread being on call on July 4th or on Christmas Day or on Thanksgiving Day because the vets would have more to drink because I worked at the Veterans Administration. And there's a lot of alcoholism there. And we would see a lot of what was termed holiday heart, which is normally when you drink alcohol, your heart slows down. But, you know, there's actually a toxic effect to the heart of too much alcohol. But also, when the alcohol wears off, you get a kind of a surge of adrenaline. And that causes the...
because that alcohol causes a low blood sugar and that surge of adrenaline comes out and off you go.
It's partially it's also partially because alcohol is a dual effect. It's sedating, but then once it wears off, you get a rebound, hyperexcitation. And that hyperexcitation of the sympathetic nervous system makes the heart pitter-patter.
Pitter-patter.
Yep.
There you go, Christina. Here's one from Cindy. Dear Dr. Hoffman, I find a wide range of approaches to thyroid health between regular NDs and NDs,
naturopathic doctors,
physicians, who have been working on balancing my hormones for 10 years. Now, the regular MDs tell me that the TSH is the most important measurement. So,
well, the TSH is convenient when you're using synthetic thyroid. It's not that useful when you're using natural thyroid, which is one of the reasons why conventional MDs don't want to use natural thyroid because it doesn't give you a consistent TSH response. You have to measure other things.
While my NDs tell me that what really matters is not the TSH, but T3, T4, and how I feel.
Good. That's right.
Love NDs for that reason. That the TSH is only low because I'm taking supplementation, which is allowing me then to feel better. So I have a war going on between the people who have actually helped me to feel better, the hormone specialists, NDs, maybe nurse practitioners, and my internal medicine doctor and her endocrinologist, who see this very differently
right.
from the folks who've been actually helping me for a long time. Which is correct?
Well, the answer is...
What a great question.
You know, it's a great question, but she sort of lays out the dilemma, which is where I depart from conventional endocrinology. And I think it's acknowledged in many scientific papers mm-hmm. that a lot of patients who are treated seemingly successfully with synthetic thyroid, levothyroid, L-thyroxine, or Synthroid, mm-hmm. Their numbers look good, but they have not achieved their goal of feeling good.
Yeah.
And so that's where alternative or integrative endocrinology comes in. And we use the natural thyroid, and sometimes we use Synthroid in combination with T3.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to say, it departs from the conventional guidelines, but it's one of the things that's been the most satisfying thing in my practice, and I would not turn back, you know, in 35 years of treating people, or people who are, I feel, they feel deeply indebted, because I've had the creativity and courage of my convictions to depart from the conventional guidelines. Now, we don't want to completely abandon the conventional guidelines, because I've actually seen some people who were the victims of overzealous treatment by so-called alternative physicians who overdose them on thyroid.
Yeah.
And the consequences can be heart palpitations, cardiac arrhythmias, atrial fibrillation.
Osteoporosis. At 40-some-odd years old.
Yeah. And we've seen that.
Without an early menopause or anything.
And these patients have said, oh, my goodness, I wish I'd seen you like 20 years ago, but I was misguided. I thought it was, you know, I wanted to lose weight, or they put me on like what I consider monumental doses of natural thyroid unnecessarily. And then we have to kind of cut back and moderate that.
Mm-hmm.
And as people get older, they don't tolerate the thyroid as much. Mm-hmm. And for a very... I had a case of a patient the other day who said, do you think it's my thyroid? I'm feeling tired. And oh, by the way, I have atrial flutter, you know, which is like my heart.
That'll make you tired.
Well, it can be a sign of some underlying problem. But I said, you know, I look at your thyroid, it seems normal, and I could give you thyroid in an effort to make you feel better, and you have to tell me if you feel better. But the problem is, you're at risk when I give you thyroid. It could only make your heart race faster, especially the natural thyroid. And, you know, because the Synthroid is much slower release, less likely to cause palpitations. But the natural thyroid works rapidly and sort of dumps a lot of thyroid into your system quickly.
Mm.
And that can precipitate heart pounding.
Mm.
So I always tell my patients when I start them on natural thyroid, let me know if, like, when you're lying down at night, you feel your heart thumping, or if your heart's racing, that would not be a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, you feel hypercaffeinated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly that. Right.
So the answer is, again, you know, we're equivocating on every question here.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is. We have to take a nuanced approach to this.
That's true. Yeah. I've often seen, even in my own private patients, of, you know, I went to my endocrinologist and I see... I look at a TSH, I look at their T3, T4, and I say, what would Dr. Hoffman make of this? And I've worked with you for so many years that I could look at that and tell this patient, you know, if Dr. Hoffman were looking at this, and oftentimes I discuss my case, my cases with you to get your advice, he would think this way. Go back to your doctor and ask about this, or this test is missing. We only have a TSH.
Yes.
What else is going on here, et cetera?
Because maybe the Synthroid is not being translated into the necessary T3.
Yeah.
That is the business end of the thyroid.
Yeah.
The type that really is going to impact your mood and your metabolism and your energy.
Yeah. And other things to look at. Some people are still taking their Synthroid or their natural thyroid with a cup of coffee in the morning. You really can't.
Oh.
Because we don't even, it's not the caffeine.
Oh.
It could be a cup of decaf.
Yeah.
I'm now telling everybody, and I have to revive that article, you have to wait a full hour. There was actually a couple of case studies of women who are not losing weight. They're taking their thyroid, but they're taking it with a cup of coffee.
Oh. See, I've been a little more lenient. I've said as long as it's black coffee, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it may not be.
I thought it was the cream that it might interfere with it.
It could be, but because they say they weren't able to isolate what,
okay,
I just tell them, you know what, stop, wait the full hour.
A good policy is, you know, I usually wake up, and before I do anything, you know, like I read the paper, or I listen to the radio a little bit, you know, or sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, and then I go back to sleep. That put the thyroid right by the bedside with a glass of water. Take it then.
Yeah.
You know, and then go back to sleep and drowse a little bit, you know, for an hour or so.
That's a great idea.
And then you'll be ready if you have some people have to go to work and they need to eat breakfast right away.
Other things to do is to avoid goitrogens, the two biggest ones, soy and millet.
Oh, millet is
I didn't interesting?
Know.
Millet.
I thought it was
gluten-free grain.
Yeah, birdseed.
Yeah.
Don't eat birdseed.
Don't eat birdseed.
But I like, you know what, the one, I do sometimes like millet, pasta sometimes made with millet, but what is this thing that I like that's made with millet? And millet bread sometimes
millet
is good.
Bread? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's gluten-free, that's fine. Yeah. You know, for somebody with hypothyroidism, you know, don't eat it so frequently.
But it's mostly the classic goitrogens are cabbage and broccoli and things like that.
Yeah, but hold on.
What about kale?
Kale too. The brassica family of vegetables.
Kale smoothie. You know, if you're chugging down kale smoothies.
If you're doing a raw kale smoothie every day, you're not helping your thyroid.
Right.
But it doesn't mean don't eat kale. You know, a lot of people will go the wrong way on this.
It's not a strict prohibition.
I want people to eat kale and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cabbage.
Anti-cancer compounds, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But most of the time you want to eat them cooked, and you don't want to eat them every day.
Yeah.
Not in their raw state
and,
every day.
And especially concentrated, where you know, you can't eat like a massive amount of kale, but you can juice enormous amounts
That's
of
true.
Kale, and you concentrate all the brassicans.
Exactly.
The
you've brought up in the past, I think it was a study in the New England Journal of Medicine of an
Chinese
Asian woman.
Yeah, yes. Chinese woman, who I guess she lived in Chinatown, went to China. She got like Chinese cabbage.
Mm-hmm. And that's all she ate?
I think she juiced it.
She juiced it and destroyed her thyroid.
And she had like a TSH of like 500. You know, it was she killed her thyroid with that.
Wow.
But it was,
see?
But in order to do it, she really had to be on a tear with massive amounts of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So, Cindy, thank you for that question. But, you know, I love your NDs and MPs and alternative practitioners who are taking into account how you feel and not
really
just looking at.
There must be something to it. It's not just a fad. There really is something to it that we can achieve better results with a more nuanced approach. By the way, some people do fine on Synthroid. So if you're on Synthroid and you feel good, don't worry about it. It's like it's working for you.
Right.
But, you know, there are some people it absolutely doesn't work for.
Right.
Okay. Layla, we're out of time on this one. And you know, we have a couple more questions in the mailbag. We'll touch upon those next week. Mm-hmm. Radioprogram@AOL.com is the destination for questions. So send us more questions as we enter election week or election month, maybe election year, or
maybe
the Armageddon. You know, we don't even know what's going to happen.
But Election-geddon.
Election-geddon.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
So hopefully we'll still be, you know, let's think positively.
Think positive.
We'll be there for you in
2021
and 2021. Beyond.
Yes.
Regardless of whatever regime we're under.
Right.
Okay.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.